The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary tastes with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Well, I just want to tell you about a quick podcast study here. As you know by now, we all do our very best to align the right sponsors to the podcast. It's a lot of work behind the scenes, and I'm incredibly grateful for your support. We're currently running a quick survey at podcaststudy.com, and we're giving the first 150 people a $10 digital Amazon gift card as an incentive to complete the survey. The information we hear from you about our sponsors is incredibly important to the show, and we can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes to help us out. I mean, come on, it's free. Now cut us a break. Upon completion of the survey, you'll be asked to include your email address, and we will send the first 150 people a $10 gift card from Amazon. Go to podcaststudy.com, and thank you again for helping our show and our sponsors. Very funny comedian Brian Callen is going to join us in studio. Also in the first half, Zamfir, the master of the pan flute. Dawson's got a mashup that'll make you laugh. We'll do that right after this.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
I don't remember anything about that game. First of all, I was so pissed, but I was so drunk, too.
What's up, heroes? I'm Brendan Fitzgibbons.
And I'm Sophie Santos.
And we're the co-hosts of the new comedy sports podcast, Hammered Heroes.
On Hammered Heroes, we celebrate the best performances by professional athletes while they were hammered, on drugs, or horribly hungover.
Myself, Santana, and Sean, prior to the game, we would take a little shot.
Each week, we'll discuss a game or incident that focuses on an athlete's mind-blowing performance despite being extremely hammered.
Doc Ellis working on a no-hitter.
It was easier to pitch with the LSD. That's the way I was dealing with the fear of failure.
Think of it as Drunk History meets 30 for 30 meets Jackass.
We're going to have the best comedians, sports personalities, and even the Hammered Heroes themselves.
And then, we're even going to try and recreate some of these legendary performances.
Will we always be drunk?
No. Yes.
It's Hammered Heroes.
Available wherever you get your podcasts.
So the record was 73.
73 beers and a cross-country flight.
Yeah.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Brian Callen, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, watching the Queen's funeral, he couldn't help but be reminded of the pageantry of his family's funerals. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice. We've got a man to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Chungo.
Chungo's coming on tomorrow.
All right.
Shut the fuck up.
Yes, Brian Callen is on today.
Yes, sir. Look at that applause. Look at that applause. I never get tired of it.
It's a comedy special. It's called Man Tears, and it is very funny. It's on YouTube. You can watch it for free because that is the new world order.
It's the new way we do
and,
it.
And Brian always has a nice mixture of jokes and punchlines, but with philosophies and thoughts, and he's a renaissance man.
I try to be. I'm older. So if you're going to be 55 and not say something with your comedy, you know what I mean? There's always that pressure to be thematic. You can write jokes. And now that I've kind of like, I'm trying to figure out what my next theme is going to be. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably going to be the fact that I don't know where any of us fit in the future.
Oh, I was going antebellum.
Well, now you're talking.
I thought it was more of a dress thing.
Yeah.
But you're saying it's a psychological
It
approach.
Should always start with dress because style is more important than substance, as we know.
Oops, well, thanks. You will get the substance from watching this special. And there's a few stories that stand out to me. But first, I'm glad you're in here because I had a evolutionary kind of biological thought over the weekend, which is I was in Malibu. And I leave the patio door just sort of open. There's a front thing, balcony, whatever, second floor.
So many doors in the mansion.
Just leave it open when I go to bed at night because it's nice outside. There's not a lot of mosquitoes or anything in Malibu. And I woke up Saturday morning to see that there was a live bird inside of my house. Mm. And it was in the back where there's a slider. There's a glass slider. It's got a 4-foot fixed panel, and it's got a 4-foot sliding panel. And so if you slide it all the way open, it's 50% open. The bird kept hopping up and banging against the glass.
God, they're so dumb.
And when the bird saw me, he started to really panic and just kept smacking the glass and coming and smacking. I had slid the door wide open and the screen wide open, so just 2 feet to the left was wide open air, but it just kept banging, and I felt bad for it. It was like making little chirpy sounds, and I was like, should I get the broom and try to sweep it out? But I thought to myself, all right, what's going on? Well, the bird sees daylight through the glass and then attempts to fly at it.
And senses there's a carnivore in the room.
Right, predator.
And also, birds will often pick fights with their own reflection.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. They'll go at their own reflection in a piece of glass.
Very territorial.
Right.
Because that other bird is being just as aggressive as they are.
But I thought to myself, although they're a much better looking bird than the one that's in the mirror, but I thought to myself, I get it. Glass hasn't been around. You know, windows haven't been around for 2 million years.
Yeah.
But long enough so they could pass down this wisdom to generations of stop fucking flying into shit and killing yourself. Like thousands of birds die every year just this flying to a window.
Domestic cats and windows.
Yes. Two biggest killers of birds. But shouldn't they catch on at some point?
Well,
you're not feeling the air, the wind coming through here. There's something
first
to it.
Air.
They have bird brains.
Yes.
No, I think, so rattlesnakes. I was in Texas, and I'm doing Tim Kennedy, who's the, I don't know if you know Tim. Tim was a special forces guy, one of the top MMA fighters in the world. He wrote this amazing book called Scars and Stripes, and he took me through a whole day of special forces training. Never going to be in the special forces. Don't have the bone structure, the temperament, or anything else. But there was a rattlesnake that they caught, and the rattlesnake doesn't rattle. And when you put it on the ground, you come at it, it won't rattle. And because they've evolved, they figured out that when you rattle, you get killed.
Mm-hmm.
So now the ones in Texas don't rattle. They just go, I'm going to stay very quiet.
Right.
And that's a classic example of snakes are smarter than birds.
Yeah, their great-grandfather didn't employ that system, but they have learned, is what I'm saying. Yes. This bird, I'm no ornithologist.
Sure.
Yep, there you go.
And I am.
But I guessed it looked like it was a couple years old. Feel like this could have been passed down, this little piece of wisdom of not flying into commercial buildings and smacking against glass
over
and killing.
And over again.
The bird might have been like, in Malibu is rare, the bird was probably like there's this guy's a right-wing meat eater, and he's going to kill me because he's hard on little things.
And he panicked.
And he panicked.
Yeah. And he forgot the lessons passed down from his elder birds.
I talk about this on stage. I had the weirdest experience with this whole bird thing. I go in for therapy. I'm not a therapy guy. And this guy comes highly recommended. And I get in the office, and the guy has a giant picture of a bird, and he's got the encyclopedia of birds. And I basically said to him, he was a bird enthusiast, not even an ornithologist. He's just a bird enthusiast, guy who watches
a birder.
Birds, yeah. A birder. And I had all these thoughts. I was like, first of all, I was like, you're definitely white if you're a bird watcher. There's no such thing as a black bird watcher. No, we have equality.
They're bird eaters, but they're not watchers.
Right. Well, no, we have true equality.
They watch
black
them come
people.
Out of the deep fryer.
Yes. That's the guy who got in trouble in Central Park.
Yes. I didn't even want to say it because I didn't want to shit on his
point. He was a bird watcher.
A birder.
There you go.
That's a very rare.
Just the one.
Outlier.
For me, I'd be like, don't believe you. I'm just saying, well, no equality when black people are like, oh, is that a finch? You know?
Yeah.
But I said something to him that was really interesting, and he kind of wrote it down. I said, I could never be interested in just regular birds. Like, if I see a regular bird that eats seeds and chirps, I don't care. If I saw an eagle, I'd drop a baby. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, that's, but why is that? One is because it's the overlord of the sky.
Yes.
But then I see like a blue jay and it's pretty, but I don't really give a shit. Yeah. And he thought that was very significant. He pointed to that being my inability to be vulnerable or something. And that was the last time I went there because I can't open that can of worms. Mm. It's just too.
No pun intended.
Are you guys with me that I do not want to know what my therapist is into by what's hanging on the wall other than the degree. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't want to know that they collect hippo figurines.
Right.
I don't want them to be into birds. Right. I don't even know what team they're into. I like to think of them as here to serve me.
Agreed.
And have no other interests other than my own personal matter.
Outside of this room.
Robo-therapist.
Well, I had a hernia done when I was like, I don't know, 20, my 20s. And this bothered me, but the guy who was going to do the operation, he was muscular, he was short, muscular, he wore clothes to show that off, and he was a surgeon, and behind him he had a giant picture of him in a race car.
Mm.
And I thought, that's not a personality, that's an alpha personality of a guy who likes to crush people on a race. That's not a healer.
Right. Mm.
There's something about, I found it very disconcerting. He was a little too macho to be cutting into my groin. I want a guy with soft hands who might have a sort of a landscape, an amorphous landscape behind him.
Scrubs are the toughest outfit to look yoked in. And if you look yoked in scrubs, you are fucking yoked.
Yes.
Right?
Why not?
I'll make an exception for the race car guy because
I
do
That's
enjoy the cars, although I would like to know what kind of car and what event it was. And then
I think it was a stock. I think it was a NASCAR.
Oh, all right. No, it's got no business bringing that into the office.
What happened to the bird?
The bird whacked against the glass 10 times. I got in and was trying to coax it to hit the open air, and eventually it hit the open air. But it'll
very
be back.
Concussed.
It'll be back. The point is they should evolve to figure glass out.
Yeah.
That's all.
That'd be nice.
It'd be nice.
My gal bought me for Valentine's Day. I was in Nashville. And she bought me. She goes, you're going falcon hunting.
Oh.
Nice.
And I went, I'm not a big. I mean, all right. You know, I'll shoot a deer.
Who, you're my therapist, bitch?
Exactly. And I went, all right. So we go to the outskirts of Nashville. And the guy's got falcons. And in fact, they weren't falcons. They were red-tailed hawks. But apparently, there's not a big difference, you know, as you guys know.
They have a little helmet.
They got these didn't have helmets, but they had bells on their feet. And then you go hunting for squirrels and rabbits with falcons. And falcons are brutal on squirrels. They'll grab a squirrel from the trees. Or you spook the squirrel, and the squirrel's running around, and the falcon grabs the squirrel and starts eating it. And sometimes the falcon goes, oh, I'm not going to hunt a squirrel. There's a rattlesnake down there. And then you got to get the snake out of the bird's talons and get them on point. Not snakes, bro. Squirrels.
Right.
And I watched it kill one squirrel, and I was like, I'm not going to eat the squirrel. And this is not my
point?
Thing. Right. Yeah, you're doing all the work, and I'm running to watch a squirrel get massacred by this giant reptile with feathers. And so that was my
Did you have to wear the big leather glove?
I didn't even get to do that because the guy had to.
I've done that at a resort.
And I said, how do you tame them? And he goes, it's really easy. They'll see a hawk up on a power line. You put a piece of meat there with a trap, with a snare. The goes down to eat the meat. It gets caught in the snare by its leg. Now you put on a very heavy glove and you basically put that, you tie that hawk to your arm, and you feed it. And for 12 days, that thing lives on your arm the whole time. And you know what happens? It imprints on you. So now it just takes 12 days for a wild hawk to be like, you're my daddy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit on your arm because I know I get meat. And oh, by the way, I know you're now going to feed me a squirrel. And what they would do is when the squirrel would die, they'd cut – this is a terrible story, but they would cut the leg off, and the thing would swallow the leg whole. And I was like, well, there it is. So if you're starving, guys, get a piece of meat, tie a falcon to your forearm, and in the zombie apocalypse, you're going to have a belly full of squirrel, but at least you won't die, okay? Wow. And that's the point of this podcast, Adam. You're welcome.
Survival.
Yeah, that's why you're here.
That's why I'm here.
Spreading do yourself a favor.
Spreading the mirth.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, it's weird. There's no version of animal anything that's not brutal.
Yeah.
We just sort of choose to look the other way, or somehow butterflies are better than roaches or something like that. I was actually talking, I don't think I was talking about it on this show, but as long as we're going down this road, my TV kind of spazzed out, and I have the smart TV. Right. It lamed out. It tarted out.
No. It's getting worse.
All right. It wasn't working correctly, but YouTube was working correctly. Mm, okay. And I found myself watching these little, hey, here's a thing on ants. Or a thing on crabs, you know what I mean?
Always at war.
And the ants, which I enjoy, the ants do battle with hornets. Mm. But they don't do battle with, they kill the hornets.
They
what?
Do? They beat hornets?
Well, what they do is the ants go right up to the hornet's nest and they just start systematically killing them.
Really? Oh,
nice.
And they kill them, and you know, they kill the queen, they kill the saplings, the young.
Are you talking about bees or hornets? Because
hornets,
really,
they go right on up. They march it right on over to the nest. They go into the nest and they kill everything that's
good,
in the nest.
Good little ants.
And the answer as to why they do that, it's not because the hornets hunt them or attack them. It's because the hornets eat what they eat. So their thing is like, we got to kill all these.
Resource competition.
Resource competition.
You'd think they were human.
Go kill them.
It's like buying up another company.
And then we get the market corner.
Good.
And I also thought,
diabolical.
There is a kind of a thing in nature, which is it's kind of absolutism. You know, it's like that. This is how it works. Mm-hmm. This is what they do. They don't. It's not a matter of them being nice or mean. Yeah. It's just, this is nature. This is how it works. We've evolved pretty good. There are a handful of folks out there that don't participate. But I think it's also the part of us that we fear nature because of that relentlessness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when
you can't reason.
The grizzly bear's just killing you. There's nothing else involved.
Right. If you put two ants from different species in a jar or anything, it doesn't matter. They fight immediately. They go right to war.
Really?
Yes. Ants, mm-hmm. ants, different species are always at war with each other. But I think, here's my theory.
Mm.
Tell me what you think of this. Because in the special, I do this joke where I say when two men meet each other for the first time, after all the protocol, but if you really think about the only question going on in their mind when they meet each other for the first time, if you get rid of everything is, could I kill this motherfucker?
Yes.
That's literally what it is. Like if we were in a room naked, who comes out first, right? And when I do that joke, everybody,
is
all
it
the
comes
guys
comes first
clap.
Or comes out?
I didn't hear it.
Comes first.
Comes first.
That's
I like where your head's at.
That's what he said.
In some cultures, that's how you assert dominance.
Yes.
Are human beings still that competitive, aggressive ape? And do we just express that innate primal sort of need to either to establish that dominance hierarchy in different ways? Is it, do we just have more productive ways to do it? Isn't that what sports are about? Business is about?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Most interactions.
I had this experience many years ago, which is I was living in an apartment building in North Hollywood on Carpenter Street or Avenue. And I was selling my pickup truck back when you'd put it in the recycler and then some guy would show up and you'd just start haggling out in the street. And it was a horrible way to spend a Saturday. And as a matter of fact, you could probably do it because it'd always be some Armenian accented guy.
I can get you. What the,
he would come in and he'd try to beat you up on the truck. You know, what is this? And who had this get here? You know, and it's a, you know, 84 Datsun or Nissan used pickup truck that retails for $5,700 and you're trying to get $1,700 and this guy wants to know why there's a scratch in the bed.
It's
and
it's not like, tip-top, my friend.
It's because it's used.
The first thing you do is you go, this was not the truck in the pictures. This, I can't.
I had the greatest exchange with this guy ever where he just kept going and going and going. We could probably recreate it. And at a certain point, I said to him, look, what is the most you would pay for this pickup truck? And he's like, well, it's my friend with the scratch and the thing. That I couldn't possibly spend more than $1,400. And I said, okay, well, thanks for coming by. And he's like, what? Where are you going?
What is?
Where's the bartering?
I said, what's the most you can spend? He said, 14. I said, okay, that's lower than what I want. So we're done. And he went, but what is? You know, like, come back. And I said, why, if it's $1,400 and one nickel, if you stop at 14, if that's the most, and he kept going, that's just cannot possibly.
I like your technique.
Spend for, and I go, well, then we're done. And he would go like, well, come back. And I was like, is that the most you could possibly? He said, absolutely. So that was that. But while this was going on, there was a big yoked Mexican guy, big thick muscular Mexican guy, and he was moving in to the building. Mm. So now it's me in my 20s, and here's this big tough guy, and he's moving in, and it's a small building. It's got like 6 units. So I'm doing what Brian's talking about. I'm sizing the guy up.
Yeah, like, you got to size him up.
I'm sizing him up, and I'm kind of looking at him, you know, and it's like he's really well built. And so I walk up to him, and I go, moving in the building? And he's like, yeah, man of few words, you know? And then at some point, he goes, do I know you? And I said, I don't know. Did you go to North Hollywood High? Maybe you know me. He said, no. I said, did you play like Pop Warner football out here in the Valley or something? He said, no. I said, okay, I was getting a little big dude, getting a little spooked.
Yeah.
He's, a lot of mystery in this conversation. And
you
then
engage in nightly fight clubs?
Yeah. He goes, I know you. And I said, how? And he goes, we fought. And I went, oh, yeah. There was this dude who I fought in the street years earlier.
What?
Yeah.
Was this at that party?
Was it a party?
In the alley?
It was like a makeout party. Someone's parents were out of town.
Sure.
No, it was in the middle of the street. We fought. Him and his bros, like from the other part of the valley, like came rolling into the house all full of their own shit. You know, my friends were like broken off, making out with chicks. I get left with the one nutty broad who's insane, who I want no part of, you know. So I literally start making my way down the stairs. It's a hill house going, you know, I'm getting in my truck. I'm going home. And these four or five scary other valley dudes are coming up the stairs. And as they're coming up the stairs, the crazy chick who probably was, she was like making advances to her, man. I was like, I don't want any part of this. I'm going to leave. She says to the guys that I hit her.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Why?
Because she's nuts.
She's a bad person.
She's a bad person.
God.
And, I rejected her come hither looks that she was giving me. And her friends had teamed up. They'd paired off with my friends. It was a makeout party and she was getting left.
Oh boy.
I was going home to rub one out. And not to her.
She showed her.
So she says,
"No,
oh my god."
She goes,
"Was one of them wearing a Believe Women?" Sure,
it was. It was before Me Too buttons were out, the lapel buttons. But
wow.
Then of course the tough guys were like, "Hey, bro,
good for them."
Yeah, I was like,
"Well, yeah." I mean, she's nuts.
I don't want any. And nothing like that happened. And then they just like, yeah, what kind of pussy, you know, hits a woman and blah, 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 blah. In the middle of the stairs in the middle of the night. I know there were fucking four of them. And my friends were all engaged. And so I was standing there and I'd had arthroscopic knee surgery. So I still had stitches in my knee, small, but they were there. It was, you know, I don't know. A week after I got this. So the one guy, the lead guy, tough guy, he was like, I should kick your ass. And then I said, you know, I just had knee surgery, so I don't think that'd be a good
idea. I hit women, but I have a knee surgery. Right.
So my hand's good, but I can't kick the bitches anymore. And then he said, I'll never forget this. He goes, I'm going to break your other knee.
Oh.
Damn. And I said...
I kind of like him because he's a chivalrous.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like, the problem is you agree with those guys, but you're like, I didn't do this.
In any other situation, yes.
Yeah. So then he said, I'm going to break your other knee. Then I said, okay, then it's on.
Oh, boy.
But we have some conditions here. You guys, you other guys, need to kind of stay out of this because this is between me and this guy. And this guy's a big badass. And he can handle me. And so let's go out to the street and we'll see if we can break my other knee. So they did.
Did the lady have any thoughts at this point?
I think she went back in the house and
good
closed
for her.
The door.
Good
Jesus,
for her.
So me and the
human being.
The big scary Mexican guy who was later moving into my apartment, me and him just went in the street.
Wow.
And we just squared up and then I gave him a beat down.
Because you had been boxing.
Yeah, I'd been boxing. I was kickboxing. I was boxing. I just gave him a beatdown. And at some point, he kind of fell back into his friends or whatever.
But his friends didn't jump in. I like this whole group.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There was some involvement toward the end. Yeah. So then what had happened was is he wanted no more. He had a no mas moment.
Mas.
And I said, bring it back. Like, we're not done. You wanted this. You wanted to break my other knee. This is your idea. So get back here and let's finish this. And he wouldn't come back out. So then I started verbally taunting him.
Chicken.
And that's when
you're good at verbal.
That's it was good. Yeah. That's when I felt the baseball bat go backside, thankfully. And thankfully on my good knee. Full aluminum baseball bat to the
You got
to the good
Kerrigan.
Knee from behind. Yeah. Yeah, I got Galuli.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which happened to hit above the knee and kind of the meatier part.
Thank God.
It was from behind, so all I did was curtsy, essentially.
Good fellow.
Then it pissed me the shit off because I was like, oh my God, I told you fuckers I had a bad knee. This guy comes up behind with a baseball bat to the knee.
Break your other knee.
To the knee. Then a bottle comes sailing at me. The bottle breaks on me. It was thrown. It broke on my shoulder. It was just thrown in such a way that it just happened to hit my shoulder bone and just burst. Didn't leave a cut. Didn't tear my shirt. Didn't get my eyes. Just broken bottle.
Force field. You had
incredible.
You had the Holy Ghost force field around you.
Then they all jumped on me.
Oh, geez.
That's when they all jumped on me. And then they all just started giving me like that gang initiation.
Oh, yeah. I've had that.
And I got the busted lip from that one, but it wasn't debilitating. It was just a lot of blood. You know what I mean? Then after that ended, I stood there and I was like, who gave me the chicken shit uppercut or whatever? Then it was the black guy who was the leader. He was the kung fu guy.
Oh boy.
In the group.
This feels very 80s movie.
And me and this
Roadhouse.
Dude, now this guy had some skills. The other guy was just a big dude. This guy had skills, you know, so then me and him skilled it off in the street, and eventually cops showed up and everyone ran.
Except you, because you had two busted knees.
This guy, now the guy hit me with the bat, it's the guy we spoke to on the
radio show.
He turned out to be a private pilot.
Okay.
Oh. This guy who you're now seeing after negotiating with.
No, different guy.
Different guy. The one guy was the bat guy.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to find that guy.
Yeah.
Because the one guy, the big Mexican guy, we just fought in the streets and I got the better of him. That was fine. The other kung fu guy, that was just, we just fought in the street. But the guy attacked my knee with the bat.
Yeah.
I said, what kind of guy?
I give him a pass because he was hitting in his mind a girl beater. You understand? So
I think he was hitting.
I like his attitude.
But this was less about the girl and more about his boyfriend.
If you're beating girls up, then maybe you deserve to have the other knee broken.
To make your point, when the Mexican guy was looking at me in the driveway of my apartment going, we fought, this whole scenario flashed through my head. And I remember he knows I beat him up. And he also knows I got hit with a bat and a bottle and it just pissed me off. And I remember just thinking, this dude's not going to fuck with me.
Oh, yeah.
He thinks I'm insane.
Yeah.
So that was good. The bat guy was found later in probably, Brian, you're a dude, and so you're going to like the dudeness.
Yeah, let me take my shirt off for this.
Of this story. We've been looking for months for the bat guy.
Yeah.
We knew his name, but we didn't know where he rolled or who he hung out with or
back
whatever.
Back in the day when you had a Thompson guy in a phone call.
Yeah, that's right.
Flipped him at 118.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know Terry was his name. I didn't know
Terry
he was.
From the Valley.
He was, he came on the morning show at some point 30 years later.
Did he?
Yeah. But he was not happy about it because he was now a professional.
Yeah.
And he
sounds
didn't really want to.
Again, I would have defended him. Terry was a good kid. He was a chivalrous.
But the bat only came out, as Gina said, after I beat up his friends. Well, so maybe it was more about
who was he really avenging?
He was protecting his friends.
No, never.
Because this guy's good with his hands, but I got a bat. So I'm going to hit him in the, you know.
Later on, months later, I'm at some Valley house party. Was hooked up with some chick that had sort of peripheral hookup chick thing. We're in the bathroom,
sure.
You know, making out.
Yep.
And there's like a pounding on the door. And I'm like, leave me alone. And it's and it's my buddy Ray. And he's like, you better open this door right now. I got something for you. And I was like, leave me. You know, I got half a boner, making out.
Yeah.
And Dominique, I'm making out with a chick named Dominique.
Ooh.
And she's hot, you know. And I'm like, Ray, just get out. Just leave me alone. It's you better open the door. Open the door. He's got the dude, the bat dude, Terry, in a full headlock.
Full
fucking
Happy
headlock.
Birthday.
And he's just holding him in a headlock. And the guy's not even struggling at this point.
Yeah.
Ray's bigger and stronger than everybody. He's got the guy in a full headlock and he's just standing. He's just, this is Terry. This is the bat guy. I'm like, he was literally like,
I got
like,
half a boner.
Like offering the squirrel leg to the falcon.
Yeah,
like, he was like, here's
exactly
my offering to you. Now, I could beat him up, but what fun would that be? You know, here I will offer him to
take
you.
Take a couple shots at his ribs.
And you beat him up.
His head steady.
Yes. And the guy apologized profusely.
Oh, he did?
Yes. And I was like, I
got
to go back to the bathroom.
And the girl probably thought that was super hot.
Yeah, I never quizzed her on it, but trust me. It probably seemed
like
I brought this for you.
Yeah.
The way your dog brings a dead rabbit to your doorstep.
That's great.
Yeah, Terry was on the morning show September 06.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did he remember the story as you remembered the story?
I remember he laugh off a lot of details? He wasn't really.
I mean, look. The bottom line is he went for
you. Yes, he did. No, what mode he was in is that was then. Mm-hmm. I'm now a professional and I really don't want to relive. I don't want to relive this. No, he was a pilot.
He was a private pilot.
Most people I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but a lot of guys in war, when there's a firefight, at least this is from a book called On Killing, or On Combat, whatever the book's called. But they looked at the psychology behind. Most people in war will sort of shoot over other people's heads.
Really?
Yes. Like in World War II, they found that most people did. There was this something about, oh, man, I just want to shoot in that direction. But And then there were a couple people in the platoon that were dead shots. And they were like, I'm here to kill. And that's what's happening today. But the disproportionate number of it was like three dudes did 90% of the killing.
Wow.
It's like Pareto's principle, where like 20% of your, like 5% of your employees are the ones that produce 80% of your profit. And
5%.
Yeah, and 5% of your employees create 80% of your problems.
Right.
It's that weird, Pareto principle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so.
So did you and the neighbor become BFFs?
No. Aww. We never spoke again.
That's right for the best.
He was moving in.
Did the guy come back with the truck?
Oh, yeah.
I heard this guy who negotiates kidnap. Like when you get kidnapped overseas, they have insurance companies have these mercenaries that will they will go to these people, and you can hire people who are like ex-SEALs and stuff.
Like State Farm insurance has this?
From what I understand, they have services where they will outsource getting you back, and there's always a ransom. And they will do the negotiating. They will go get them, and sometimes they will kill, or they will get you out of there by any means necessary. Yeah. So you get these crack teams, and this woman, her husband was really wealthy. He got kidnapped, and she found out through the course of looking at the investigation and what they were going to do that this guy was having a major affair.
Oh boy!
And he was in the house with a woman who had also been kidnapped. It's
very effective money laundering.
So she lost her
Send $5 million.
Yeah, and so when they called for the ransom, she was so angry, she goes, fuck you! Kill him! Kill that shit, piece of shit motherfucker!
Rufus
and just
Cecil.
Hung the phone up. And he and the guys, some of them were freaking out, but the guys who were experienced went, that's the best start out of a negotiation you can imagine. Because now that guy doesn't mean shit to you. And now we can start at a very low fucking price. And they got him at a very low price.
That's awesome.
The truck, I didn't end up selling it. I do remember that the recycler would come out on Thursday mornings. That's the newspaper. You had to put free newspaper. I think the ad was free, but paper costs 75 cents or whatever it is. They would drop Thursday mornings. So if you needed a refrigerator or a pickup truck, you better be at the 7-Eleven at 7 in the morning on Thursday, because you'd call people and they're like, yeah, I already sold. There's a guy looking at it or whatever. You'd get it Thursday morning. You would, however, get calls Wednesday night at 10 o'clock at night. More Armenian accent.
Uh-huh.
That dude...
Uh-huh.
Who runs the used car lot in North Hollywood on Lancashire, knows a dude who works at the recycler where they're printing the shit on Wednesday night. He would get that shit. And so when your phone rang Wednesday night with the Armenian accent, he would say, it is for my daughter. She goes to college. You know, it needs to be reliable, but it's no. If you got the Wednesday night Armenian accent,
he wants to buy it and resell it.
Right. So he's going to get you Wednesday night. He's going to show up Thursday morning. He's going to beat the shit out of it. He's going to get it for $500 less than what you want, and it's going to be on his lot on Lancashire that afternoon. And he's going to want $2,300 for it.
Genius.
Yes.
Genius.
Yeah.
That's finding money in the cracks, man. That's those gray spaces that none of us think about unless you grow up learning how to do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you eke out an existence. If you're Armenian, it's like if you're Armenian, you've been through some shit. Like, just forget the genocide, but you are always, right now they're going through it with Azerbaijan. They've always been surrounded by people that essentially want to eradicate them. So most of the Armenian story is a diaspora. The Armenian story is we have to leave our homes and everything else and go anywhere they'll take us. That's why you see Armenians in Lebanon, in Iraq. They were everywhere, but they were also Christian. So they would have, and they were surrounded by Muslim countries, but actually they would find safe quarter in some of those parts.
It's strange that the Armenians and the Jews don't team up more.
But they're very similar.
Yeah.
They're very similar. So the Jews have a very similar story.
Yeah.
So one's just Christian, the other's Jewish.
Hang out with Mark Garagos enough, he's very Jewish.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Mm. Though this is the guy, the other Armenian guy was the guy that after I put on the aftermarket fender, we had one fender that was caved in. I bought the primered aftermarket one, and I didn't do a very good job. It didn't fit that well.
Yeah.
Big gaps.
Yeah.
He looked at it, and he went, "Who put this fender on?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know." And he goes, "Whoever did it should have his hands cut off." I remember that. Then I began arguing for the guy who put the fender on, but not admitting it was me. I was like, "That's a little rough."
He tried his best.
These aftermarket fenders don't always have the fit and finish. No, this is horrible.
You should be dead.
We're not all body fender guys, all right? Some of us are carpenters.
Yeah. Dude, I'm the only guy you know who read the Old Testament twice. I just wanted to, I read literally the Old Testament, which is the Jewish Bible, for lack of a term. And what's fascinating about that culture is that God basically, at the end of Chronicles, the last book in the Jewish Bible, in Chronicles, God basically says, you guys, you Israelites, essentially disappointed me, didn't do your job, didn't listen to me, wanted a king when all you had to do was follow. I gave you the laws, and you guys couldn't even follow that, worshiping false idols and everything else. I enslaved you. The whole last section of the Old Testament is basically God going, guys, you're fucking up again. Oh, cool. You're not going to listen to me? Cool. Hey, Persians, come down and enslave them and tear Jerusalem a new asshole. Thanks so much. And then 50 years later, they'd be like, you guys had enough? Okay, good. We'll bring them back.
Bring in the locusts and kill the firstborn son.
Then it'd be like famine. Yeah. One thing after another until it ends with basically God going, you guys, disappointed, fuck off. I'm not talking to you anymore. You go wander, just diaspora, get out of here. And by the way, I might leave the door a little open, but not now. But it might be a little check back in 2,000 years. I swear to God, that's the story.
Wow. So, I didn't learn that part in Hebrew.
You should do a TED Talk.
Yeah,
man.
For real. You should have been my Sunday school teacher.
That's what's fascinating, though. And the characters are so fucking human in that Bible. They're the most flawed people in the world.
And this God is a vengeful God.
Oh, my God.
Very vengeful. Likes to smite and smote.
Smite and smote, and also would say, hey, Israelites, go kill all the people in Moab or in Baal.
Utah?
I mean, all those areas just around there. And then they wouldn't. They'd take some of the people back as slaves, and he'd be like, really? You didn't listen to me. Well, now I have to rain pestilence on you. It's crazy. It's crazy.
All right. Well, let me transition because we've got so much more to talk about.
This is Bible study. Right?
Listen, you're well read. What can I say? Right. Simply Safe. Nothing matters more than your safety and the safety of your loved ones. But old school home security companies use outdated technologies, overcharge you, and lock you into multi-year contracts. That's why I use Simply Safe. You peel and stick, no pulling wires, no drilling holes, no mess, sleek, ergonomically shaped, look beautiful. Batteries last up to 10 years, 24/7 professional monitoring. Their agents dispatch police, first responders, the moment a threat is detected. Even if you're not home or cannot be reached, customize the perfect system for you and your home in just a few minutes. It's simplysafe.com/Adam. Save 20% when you sign up for interactive monitoring. When you get that plan, you get your first month for free. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam to learn more. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right, quick break. Back with Brian Callen right after this. You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. My dad died a few years ago, and I had to go home per bro code and throw away a bunch of nude pictures of him and a pocket pussy. So, mahalo?
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Well, thank God it was the pocket pussy. My dad's got the trailer mount. And that, there's no way you can sneak that out past the neighbors. No. The pocket pussy is just that.
It's just that.
Put it in the racing form, tuck it under your arm, discreetly walk out to the recycling bin. But the trailer mount pussy,
good luck.
That's in the driveway.
Yeah,
you have to do that in the cover of night.
That's right.
That's for real fucking.
Where do you guys come down on this? And tell me if you've experienced what I think is a scam, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Now, I used to get takeout, and if I got takeout back in the day, I just wouldn't tip. But this was cash. This is 25 years ago. I just pick up the pizza or the tacos, and I just leave. And then I had a girlfriend. It was a waitress. And dating waitresses sucks because they're A, poor, and then B, big tippers with your money.
Yeah.
You know, you got to tip. You got. It's like,
you
honey,
don't
we don't
like.
Have
50%,
yeah. We don't have money. We argued for 40 minutes of whether we could afford calamari or a glass of wine with this meal, and now you're like wanting me to go full Frank Sinatra on everyone, but yet you don't make any money. You're way. So she's like, oh yeah, when you do the takeout, you tip. You tip, and I'm like. Okay, so like when I go get the Chinese food, I'd give them $5 or something like that. But I went to pick up Thai food a couple of nights ago. It's about it's close to $80 worth of Thai food. And they do the thing where they give you the mobile scanner reader credit card, mm-hmm. punch it in. And then things, 15%, 18%,
20%. There's just one more thing you want to, they suggest.
And then there's a custom tip.
There's a button that said skip.
Oh, boy.
So I hit skip.
Larry David.
Because this was literally me just walking into the Thai food place and them handing me the bag.
Yeah.
And I would have done a here's $5. I didn't have any cash on me. But 15 or 20% seemed like a lot considering I was just walking out with the stuff. So I hit skip. But nothing happened. So I hit skip again.
That button's broken.
And nothing happened. So I pulled the credit card out. And I like push it back in, hit skip. And then I said to the woman, who I think certain cultures rely on the language barrier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or at least they use it in their favor. I said, I don't think this thing's working. She's like, you pick number. You know, you have to pick. You know, and I was like, skip. No, you have to pick. No. And I'm like, okay, 50, I hit 15%. Yeah. It's like, fuck
right,
it.
This way.
I'm leaving. And she got her, you know, $10 or whatever it was on her. Is this intentional? Now, you can't rig it. I mean,
I bet you can.
I think for
you
me.
Have, you probably could. Like, you have to have the option, but.
That thing is highly advanced.
This,
I bet you can just go in the options
this
and say,
place,
skip button doesn't work.
This place is. In Malibu. Uh-huh. It's got a bunch of just rich whitey in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
And most stuff is, you know, $45 to $110. And so it's going to cost you $6 or $11. Yeah. I think most people just kind of do
that. I do that because I figure they're cooking the food. And also, I always think about the fact that I'm very lucky that I don't have to do that.
But do you think it's a scam in this? And have you ever experienced
it? If it's a scam, it's a terrible scam because you're only making $8 a shot.
Oh, that's up, man.
So for me, I'm always
I don't think it's a terrible scam.
I think it's a great scam.
But tipping is something that I would tip because the guys in the kitchen who are killing themselves trying to get this food out, you know, if I'm going to give them an extra, you know, $12. To me, I'm already saying to myself, that's a lot of work for just $12. And I know it adds up, but at the end of the day, it's expensive out there. Everything is expensive. And I'm spending that much money on food.
All right, you're a hero. But the question, Chris wrote, kitchen guys don't get tips.
Well you tip the waitress tips out.
Never the kitchen, though.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, really?
It's like bar. It's like you tip out like the bartenders
and
your food runners.
You worked at like fancy places.
No, but I mean, this is every place.
Oh,
I've worked at cheap places, too. What you're paying for and is them packing it up for you and putting it together. So you're not paying for like the sit down service, but you're tipping because they packed it up for you and put the sauces and the utensils and all that stuff for you.
I would go for 5, maybe a 10% or no
that's
problem.
A little, thanks very much.
It started at 15, and the other one was disabled. Now I'm saying if they disable that, it's really hard to like they can act surprised, like, or you could make a thing out of it. But the thing flies in the face if you want to get the fuck out of there.
There's got to be listeners who work at or have a restaurant. I would love to hear from them maybe tomorrow, because I believe 100% this is a very clever scam. Might as well you go right into the settings and you skip button disable. You know,
it's a little annoying when you're. I've seen in those custom tips. But that's a little annoying when they're giving you no other option for nothing. I'll tell you who tips like a motherfucker is. I was in Seattle with Rogan.
Please send me.
Yes, you. I'm in Seattle with Rogan, and we go to this coffee shop at the airport. And it's like this little tip jar. And we get a couple coffees. You know, he's like, going to coffee. And I watch him. He just kind of throws a bill into the tip jar. And he just goes, let's go. And he just goes. And I look back, and it's $100.
Wow.
And I go to him, I said, did you just put $100 in there? And he goes, yeah. I call that a love bomb. He goes, I call it a love bomb. I just give him $100 and get the fuck out of there.
Oh, I jerk off into the tip jar, and I call that. I call that a love bomb. I wonder if he took that
from
me.
No, he saw your cum in the cup, and he said, this is going to double your fortunes, everybody. That's some Corolla cum.
Wow.
How about that?
What a good guy.
I've seen him do, like, he'll tip to the point where, I remember we were eating, and he wrote an astronomical number. It was more than the check. And the guy goes, are you sure?
That's always nice. He goes, are you sure?
Yeah. In other words, and then I said, that's a lot of money. He goes, yeah, but, you know, he has to do that right now. And I get to do this.
And then Brian Callen comes on the show, and we all know what a great guy Joe Rogan
there
is.
There it is. You count on. He'd probably be mad at me for telling the story, actually, but, you know.
Well, I've got into it with my friend Danny Two Sheets, Daniel Kellison of The Man Show and Crank Anchors and everything. Once he told me many years ago when we were like in New York, he's like, you got to tip big. And then he said, I said, why? And he said, you don't want word to get out that you're a bad tipper. And I said, oh, yeah, I do. I'd rent out a billboard, but I'm too cheap. I feel like if Frank Sinatra gave anyone less than $100, people were devastated because the bar
cost you more money.
Yeah. Now when Rogan goes to the Starbucks at Burbank, the guy's going to be devastated if he just slipped 20 in there.
Kevin Hart's another one, though.
Oh, is
it? Kevin Hart, man. I was in, we were hanging out.
To be fair, these are both guys who make hundreds of millions of dollars.
They were always that way.
If they were always that way.
Rogan was always that way.
If they're always that way, then God bless them.
He spent crazy money. He was always that way. He was like, I'll just make more money. Because he didn't grow up with any money. And Kevin Hart's the same way. We were at Montreal behind this, you know, with all this waitress. This poor waitress is running back and forth and just, you know, getting drinks and stuff. And Kevin, he'll probably get mad at me for this, but I just saw him take $300, 300 crisp dollar bills, and really quietly he just kind of like walked up to her, like, so nobody could see, and kind of folded it into her hand. He goes, thank you very much. You're doing an amazing job. And I was like, you're the nicest fucking guy.
He's
the best guy in the world.
It's, I don't know him. I marvel at his motor. I marvel at that guy and what you can get
done. It's because he's always having fun. It's because he's a silly goose. So as long as he's always laughing and always looking to be silly.
He's kind of the American dream to me, in that this is what you can do with a motor in this country.
Yes.
Like, if you aren't scared of work and you're not scared of putting in some weekends and some holidays, you can do what he does. Mm. He has ability, but his greatest gift is his motivation. Yeah. Like, it's just how his crazy motor.
Yes.
Well, that's why it's fun to see him and Dwayne Johnson do stuff together. Because not only aesthetically is it fun, but they seem to share that.
Yeah, I think that they're both one and the same, and that that's what you can do if you have that mindset and that motor in this country at this time.
Right.
I have a different thought on The Rock, who I'm a big fan of. But like with Kevin, I get it because the challenge of being funny all the time never goes away, right? So now I drop my special. I have to come up with a whole new act, which is a nightmare. You know, you've been there. And so now I'm – that challenge is exhilarating, but also like it's just
daunting.
Always – yeah, it's daunting. Am I ever going to be funny again? But guys like The Rock and Tom Cruise, I'm always fascinated with them because they're on a movie set doing in many ways a very similar character or the same character over and over again. And if you've ever been on a movie set, it's the death of fun. You're shooting one page a day. The amount of repetition, it's not even acting. It just becomes this weird thing where you're pulling a gun out, jumping up, shooting, cut. We got to get it from this angle. Got the crane shot. You're there for 3 hours doing the same thing.
And it's always turn it around.
Yeah.
We're turning it around.
Yes.
Right.
I've never understood. I don't know how or what is actually driving you to be that big, that muscular, you know, constantly training, constantly doing everything. I don't know. I guess maybe there's its own challenge, but damn, I'd be bored. I couldn't do it. I mean, you got so much money, so it can't be the money. It can't be the attention, unless he wants to be president of the United States and stay relevant until he runs.
I think there's, you know, I always say it, like no matter how much money somebody has, when they're offered $5 million to do a half day shoot for Smartwater, no one, it's not even about the money. It's just about here's how I grew up.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get Levi's. We had to get Toughskins and we couldn't get a Schwinn. We had to get a Huffy.
Yep.
And we couldn't go to Broadway. We had to go to Sears, you know. Or I didn't mean the Broadway.
I couldn't wait for the
lights of the Broadway. I mean the department store Broadway was like too expensive. We had to go to Sears, you know. Now all of a sudden, someone wants to pay $5 million for half a day's work. And
you got
to
do it.
You do, although the guys like John Stewart, where like someone will go, I will give you $1 million to come to my birthday party and do 15 minutes of stand-up. And he's like, nah.
Springsteen says one of his favorite pastimes is to sit around and calculate the amount of money he would have made if he had ever done even one commercial.
Wow.
He says no to literally everything.
Well, he should have kept
Jeep
that.
Commercial.
He did the Jeep commercial, and he got fucking torn apart.
Oh, my God.
The whole theme of it was meet in the middle.
And
it was
like
the middle of the country. Last year, it was Super Bowl.
Couple years ago.
And everyone's like, fuck you, I'm on the right. Fuck you, I'm on the left.
That was his first.
And it did not go well.
Yeah, that whole right-left thing is interesting.
The only thing that those people can agree on is they both hated Bruce Springsteen for saying you should come to the middle. It was amazing.
But the corporate you call it corporate gigs, but the amount of bar mitzvahs and birthdays and my son's, you know, getting married and that the amount those guys could make from doing those gigs – which is it's an interesting mindset, which is I've done that where it's like my husband's a massive fan and he loves the podcast and he's turning 50 and, you know, we live in Orange County. Could you come by? We'll pay you to do 20 minutes or roast him or whatever. It's weird. I don't look at it as a sellout. Like, I look at it as, like, Make-A-Wish Foundation, and I get paid. Like, and then you go, these same guys would happily, here's a thought. So, like, Bruce Springsteen plays, you know, big events, but, you know, big arenas and stuff. But once in a while, they'll pop up at the Whiskey or McCabe's Guitar Store in Santa Monica.
And it's Pappy and Harriet's in the desert.
Yeah, there's 40 people.
Yeah.
And we hail them as heroes for doing that. Well, what's the difference between the 40 fucks at McCabe's and the 40 fucks in the back of the guy's house in Orange County? You know?
A lot of people, what you don't realize, a lot of famous musicians and people like that make a fortune moonlighting. So I know two musicians, one of whom I remember I knew very well, and she was offered they paid her $500,000 they flew her privately to a house to go into the living room, sing four songs for $500,000 for the family and their friends,
nice.
And then leave. And I know another musician who had a similar offer that was $1 million to come on a boat, on the boat of some Arabic guy, some sheikh, you know, and to sing, you know, I don't know, 8 songs. They negotiated and it was $1 million. Yeah. Sign me up. Mm. Sign me up. How about a little stand-up? Anybody? Anybody? $1 million?
Well, you've done that in people's houses before.
Yeah. First thing I am is sort of flattered that somebody wants to pay me $10,000 to go to their – because their husband's a huge fan or whatever, whatever that is. But I don't know why it's kind of foreboding, like by the, you know, it's considered selling out or whatever. But
until there's a number you can't say no to.
Right.
It's like my joke about when you could lose you lost a loved one in a plane crash. It'd be horrible and you'd be so sad. But the airline, you know, would owe you a lot of money. There's a number. There's a check. There is a number on that check that you'd be very, very sad. But if you were attached to a happiness meter, when you first see the check, you're allowed to have some activity on the needle.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
sure.
It may not buy you happiness, but it buys you a different kind of sad. Is that fair?
A little less
sad. In a one bedroom when you got to take the bus is not the same as sad on a yacht in Ibiza. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, speaking of sad, in Brian's stand-up special, he's telling a story about guys and guys not crying and tells the story of a fan – who was blind, who was waiting for him after the show in the line to be received and told the story. I'll let you explain it.
I realized that when I don't, I always talk about how women in this, even with gender parity, they're just allowed to cry.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can cry over anything or even nothing. You get a lot of support. Your friends form an estrogen circle around you. It's all that. But men, we feel the same thing, but we can't cry because, well, it's just men are too competitive and it's just, you know, impossible. So we either turn it to rage or we have humor. And I'm doing stand-up and there's a young dude in my front row who's laughing like over that way, like in the opposite. I didn't know what was going on. Turns out he was blind. And I'm doing this meet and greet afterwards, shake hands, take pictures, and everybody's like 50 people. And he comes up and there are 50 people. They can all hear it and everything else and we're talking. And he, with his mother, he goes, "You're the reason I'm here." And I went, "Thank you, brother. I appreciate it." And he goes, "No, man, you're the reason I'm still here. Because when I lost my sight, I was going to check out. But your comedy and your podcast kept me going, so I wanted to come and thank you." And I was like, I literally was like, "I'm going to cry right now." You know that? Like I got that lump. I was like, "I'm going to lose it right here." And I realized that I couldn't turn it to rage, right? The joke is I couldn't punch him in the face. You know, he'd never see it coming. But I ended up making a joke. I made a blind joke because I'd rather insult the blind man then cry in public. That's how fucked up I am. That's where I started writing all this stuff because I made a joke. I go, "Dude, you're blind and you took up a front row seat? How selfish can you be, bro?" And he started laughing. I go, "Sit in the back next time." His mother was like, "Fuck you." But that was when I realized I did that. And by the way, he laughed at my jokes, but it was great. And we talked for a while after that. But I thought to myself, how sick am I? But that's kind of what got me to write this whole special. Hmm. That was the impetus where I said, this is a fascinating thing that I have somehow ingested. I have somehow taken on this persona that is actually antithetical to how I really feel. But as a man, you got to pretend all the time that today's a good day to die and I got all the answers. Am I wrong? Every day.
I was actually thinking about it because I was interviewing a therapist. Is it John Lee, I think I was just speaking to for Take a Knee podcast. And he was sitting here. Oh, sorry, John Kim. Sorry. And he was sitting here and he's going, "You know, I grew up in the Valley and I used to listen to Loveline and I would sit in my car and I had a tough childhood and you really got me through this, that, and the other." And I said, "Yeah, I've heard that a lot because that's how Loveline was." And then I was thinking, I just got done watching your special, but I realized it doesn't mean anything to me. I just go, "Yeah, it's my job.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's what I was paid to do. But thanks." And I never say that doesn't mean anything to me, but it doesn't mean anything to me. And then I think you think your wiring's fucked up. My wiring is that wasn't me. Or go thank somebody else.
You mean that's a character or what?
it doesn't feel like anything. They go, I listened to You Got Me Through, and I'm always like, yeah, okay, here we go.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, I told you my neighbor found out I was doing Corolla because I kind of was talking to my fiance. I go, yeah, I got to do Fighter and a Kid, and then I have Corolla. And he goes, you're doing Adam Carolla?
Means nothing to
and
me.
And I said, I know, nothing. You feel nothing. I go, yeah, yeah. You know, he goes, dude, I grew up on that guy. That guy's my favorite. And he was like looking at me like I was Elvis. You want to know what you looked like, what you were like in person? I go, he's exactly the same guy.
It doesn't even feel like I was the one who was dispatching the advice that they listened to in the driveway 23 years ago. That's the other thing.
No connection to that.
I'm detached from it completely.
But you're a savant. Because you always can talk about something. It's actually astonishing.
Well, I love that compliment from you, but we won't indulge you. Or me.
He's the best.
But on a bigger news, there's an update that Dawson has Zamfir.
Oh, Zamfir, the pan flutist?
The pan flutist.
Hold on, I don't know who Zamfir is.
We might have to play a clip of
Zamfir. We're
going
to have to roll a commercial because I grew up watching the master of the pan flute, right, which was Zamfir.
Right. Is that all the flutes lined up like they're glued together like bamboo?
Yeah, it kind of look like pipe organs.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so this is Zamfir. I'm not sure which song this is. Let's see if it.
And he looks majestic.
Any movie where an Asian guy is about to kick your ass.
Yes, I do.
This is what you hear.
I do my kung fu. I do my kung fu on top of a mountain to this music.
And what were you thinking? Like, is he from the Baltic nations?
The commercial is great, Chris, because he's covering like Beatles songs and. Yes, he's not from the Van Nuys, Sherman Oaks area.
What did his dad say when he was like, "Dad, I want to play the pan flute"?
He's like, next stop, a cock in your mouth, because this is not so different.
Oh, he's Romanian.
It's what we call stepping stone instrument.
Look at that. Oh, Dad, I'm going to be famous.
Here's the Zamfir commercial.
Known as master of the pan flute.
Look at those high notes.
You've heard his hauntingly beautiful music in movies, on radio and TV.
Not so much radio.
He's sold over 20 million records around the world. His name is Zamfir, master of the pan flute, that magical instrument with the unforgettable sound.
Picture me in North Hollywood when I'm 11 just watching this on a black and white scene. It's going to change. I got to kill myself.
I'm so depressed right now. I don't know why.
I mean, it's majestic. It's beautiful.
It's majestic.
But I couldn't sit in a chair and listen to this.
No.
You know, you stand, you rise, and
you salute.
Slap.
Well, if I was leading a revolution,
this
is the music I would play before my speech.
I have no musical ability whatsoever. If I was forced at gunpoint that you have a year to master an instrument, this would be the one I'd go for.
Never getting laid if you're going to play an instrument.
I live.
Nobody's like, oh, that music makes me sound, oh, it's so horny. I want to tiptoe through a forest and pick mushrooms, but I don't want to have sex to it.
Well, he's still alive.
So since we brought it up, like the rest of the world, I've been obsessed with Zamfir. I mean, it's amazing. I went down a Zamfir rabbit hole, and you're never going to believe what I found.
You remember Zamfir's haunting melodies. Now, the master of the pan flute's lost recording session with the master of the trumpet is available for the first time ever.
That's my dad playing the trumpet.
I didn't know they knew each other.
Experience the majesty.
Oh, your dad's not so good.
The pageantry. Jim Carolla and Zamfir musical legacy lives again. You'll be moved by their dynamic interpretation of hits, such as Chariots of Fire.
Dog, you're a genius.
Endless Love. Sound of Silence. For the first time on two CDs or four cassettes. Jim Carolla and Zamfir. With hits from Elton John. And who can forget? The Scorpions. And international hits from Italy.
It's hard to tell who's who.
Yeah,
Jim Carolla.
He's playing the same song on the trumpet every time.
Finally, together. Blowing with Zamfir and Jim Carolla. Available wherever finer music is sold.
Wow. Nice job, Dawson.
Home.
Yeah,
Dawson. Good
now,
stuff.
By
That's
the way,
genius. That's genius.
Remember, Brian Callen, that when he requested a new trumpet from me,
you bought him one.
I bought him one off of Chris's suggestion. We just met that guy, ran into that guy the other week, right?
God, that's so funny. But
bought him a $1,800 trumpet, and he's like, I need the $3,500 trumpet.
Is that true?
Yes.
Dad, you're not that talented. You don't have it, kid.
Yeah.
Somebody never told him that.
No.
But he told Adam.
And I would argue if you're good, you can get by with the $1,800
Yeah, does he
trumpet.
Believe he has $3,500 worth of talent?
He believes he has the $1,700 worth of talent because that's what is between the $3,500 one and the $1,800 one.
Why is the shoddy carpenter blaming his tools?
I do not. I think it was symbolic something, but he did not want that $1,800 trumpet.
I did a musical when I was 23. My grandfather, my Sicilian grandfather from Brooklyn. Never pull punches. And he pulled me aside. I'm not kidding. And he said, listen to me. Do you notice how people were up there? They were laughing. They were engaged with you. I said, yeah. He goes, it's because you're funny. You can't sing. Mm. You're never going to be anybody as a singer. You'll be a mediocre guy. So if you want obscurity, you keep singing. But you had people laughing. So that's all I'm going to say to you. Focus on being a jackass. That's what you do. You make us laugh at the table. But you're never going to be a singer. I never forgot that. And I learned. He clipped my wings as well he should have.
Yeah.
And as a result, I don't have – I'm not here to sing.
No, my grandfather –
I can't accompany Zamfir.
I got the same thing. You can't sing and Brian Callen's funny.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Weird that he knew who that was.
Where's that leave me?
That's what happens.
I don't know.
Because I did a lot of private shows in his living room, but he paid me well. The price was right. Before I got really famous, I was willing to do those private shows.
Had you heard of Zamfir?
Never. Never, but in my next special, I know now I have 20 minutes to dedicate to Zamfir.
20 million records sold worldwide.
Wow. Keep the money.
120 million.
Oh, was it 120 million?
I'm looking
million?
At it right here.
Oh, wow. Well, this commercial's from the 80s. You know, so he sold a few units.
This is from 2006.
Yeah, but see, I used to watch those commercials for
K-Tel.
K-Tel. Yeah, K-Tel. And they do all the things, and they do weird. They go, Conway Twitty has sold more records than the Beatles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And all you could do is go, who cares? You couldn't pick up your phone and go, I'm going to check this shit, or I'm going to the local North Hollywood library and crunching some numbers. I'll get back.
Boastful claims.
Yeah, I never knew if they were lying or not. It didn't seem. Everyone I knew had a Beatles record. Nobody I knew had a Conway Twitty record. So I was loosely basing it on my own experience.
If you said Conway Twitty, I would have been like, was he a preacher? Like, I don't even know the Beatles, obviously, but Conway Twitty.
Well, I'll buy you a little time, Chris, but see if you can find one of those old Kate.
They used to run the hell out of the Conway.
Who's your
Twitty
favorite
one?
Front man of all time?
Oh, front man.
Yeah.
Geez, I've never thought about it that way.
Who's the greatest front man, would you say?
Oh, well, let's see. Let's narrow it down. Like, see them in their prime at the height of their powers.
Yes. You got David Lee Roth. You got Freddie Mercury. You got Robert Plant.
Yeah, I was just David Lee Roth popped in my head. I'm not a huge, not a massive Van Halen fan, Diamond not a massive Dave. Diamond Dave fan, but that. Doing the splits yeah, and just
it.
Wearing it.
It's fucking awesome.
I think if it's just one moment from 1983,
yeah.
maybe I'd do that.
Maybe.
You or Freddie think, Mercury spread up there. Freddie Mercury.
You might think I would say Liam Gallagher, but I'm going to go with Axl Rose.
Oh, sure. Mm.
Axl Rose didn't put out enough for a long enough time.
I agree, but and just he was the magnetic.
But still one but, night.
But if you say Axl Rose, you got to say Robert Plant. Course, his biggest influence was Robert Plant. All course. Those guys with long blonde hair were singing like Plant, but they couldn't. So you got to go Plant, don't you? If you
these are all great.
Vince Neil, all those guys were, they came from Plant's rib.
How many... How many records does Conway Twitty sell? All right, we'll find the K-Tel commercial.
They used to play that when I was a kid. I know
I used
it exists.
To do. There was Smokey Robinson. I like the Smokey Robinson one.
There's the Four Tops. Yeah. There's Henry Mancini.
Yes,
I did one of those commercials for Time Life Music.
Oh,
that
did.
Was the first music. It was the first. It was the first. My first professional acting gig.
Were you like one of the?
Yep.
Like walking on the beach with a lady and like clinking glasses?
No, I was the one who they just interviewed and I was like, it's just authentically American.
Oh, yeah.
You were a man on the street.
It was for country music. I had never listened to one country song in my life.
You didn't know who the fuck Conway Twitty was until 10 seconds ago.
No fucking idea.
That's great.
They would, yeah, they do that thing where they'd cut away to the guy and he'd go, I'm listening. My mom would say, turn it down. And I'd say, but mom, it's Smokey. And then they cut to the next person. My mama told me you better shop around. And then they cut to the next vignette.
Yes.
You were one of those vignettes.
I sure was.
Wow.
I sure was.
So they cooked those?
And I remember the guy goes, I believe you. That's what's good.
And that was for a country compilation?
It was for Time Life Records or something. Remember when they would sell you the oldies but goodies, and you could get like a subscription plan. And I was one of the guys.
Wow!
It was like, guys, country music is amazing. You know, whatever. They give me the line. I was just like, well, here goes my acting job.
Well, Chris can look around for that. I'll tell you guys about Dave. We've all been tight on cash unexpectedly. Yeah, I think that's the time we're living in now. And if you're living paycheck to paycheck or struggling to make ends meet, unexpected expenses can really be stressful. Dave can help. Dave's a banking app that helps you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's money to fill your tank, money for a wedding gift, catch up on bills, whatever you need it for. No interest and no credit check needed. Millions have already downloaded the Dave app to get financial relief with extra cash. If you're in a pinch and you need some extra help, download Dave. It's a helping hand from future you. It's Dave, right, Dawson?
Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC. Future you will thank you.
All right, let's take a break. Come back. Got some more clips to play with Brian Callen right after this.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.